everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, actor, and icon Harry Styles, as well as his numerous talented collaborators.
This week on episode one, we're going to briefly introduce ourselves, give a recap of the news that has happened over this very eventful week, and then get into a discussion about Harry's Variety cover and everything that entailed.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week?
My third class gay t-shirt collection.
Okay, I feel like I blame Harry for so much this week. It's hard to fully express. A lot of nights with not very much sleep. I feel like my eye strain with the amount of time that I spent looking at the internet this week. But my number one thing has got to be the lack of sleep that I experienced on Tuesday night because I was so freaking excited for this Variety cover. I know that sounds sad, but...
Oh, no, I was so excited too. It just crazy times. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself, your pronouns, Key?
Yeah. So my name is Key, like I said before, and my pronouns are either he, him, or they, them. Either of those is totally fine. And yeah, I guess, so, oh, this is something that I guess would be a good thing to say here. So we did record kind of an episode zero kind of thing that goes into more depth about who we are, how we met, why we started this podcast in the first place. So if this kind of seems kind of out of left field to you as a listener and you want to know more about us and the perspectives that we're coming from and things like that, then check that out. It's only like I think 7 or 8 minutes long, so yeah, not too much to listen to. So
awesome. And my pronouns are he, him, and again, I am Gray. So Key, do you want to take over the news from this week?
Sure. So much happened this week. I'm really excited to talk about all of it because so much of it was unexpected. Like, we expected the Variety shoot, so we'd said, like, we're going to record a podcast on this. But there were also so many other things that just popped up out of the blue.
It just kept happening.
Yeah, so kind of the first thing that happened towards the beginning of this week was we got some photos from the Don't Worry Darling set. It looks like the house that Harry's character and Florence Pugh's character are going to be living in.
A lot of the cars.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A lot of car photos, some outfit photos. So yeah, exciting. I will say that one of my main takeaways is that at this point in time, it is very strange to see Harry in like a normal ass suit with no flowers on it, no anything else.
I know.
I gotta say, I am so excited to see Florence and Harry together on screen in this movie.
They're going
to
be amazing. Yeah. Oh my God, they're going to be a dynamite couple. We will have a Don't Worry Darling episode for sure leading up to it and all that stuff. And we'll talk about what we know, but probably move on to Spotify charts.
Yeah, so Spotify Wrapped. I'm sure that literally every person listening to this was bombarded with people Spotify Wrapped this past week. So that was a big thing that happened. So along with that, we got kind of a lot of end of year charting information. So just kind of a sum up of some of the stats that we saw from this week. So Fine Line was Spotify's fourth most streamed album globally this year. Watermelon Sugar was the seventh most streamed song on Spotify. Adore You is number three on iHeartRadio's year-end songs chart. And Watermelon Sugar was number 11.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's like the success of Watermelon Sugar and Adore You, like, I wouldn't say it surprises me so much because when I first heard both of those songs, like, I just knew, like...
I was so crazy about them.
Yeah, they're so good. They're so strong. So I wouldn't say it surprises me, but it is, it's like such a huge difference from his last era. It's the success is crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But it really is so good. Like, Watermelon Sugar was really the song that got me into Harry. Full disclosure to the podcast, on Spotify alone, I've listened to Watermelon Sugar 97 times. Too many. But yeah, I do still remember hearing Adore You for the first time. And just like, I'm almost surprised that Adore You was not the one that got to number one, but that Watermelon Sugar is. But I do think that the Song of the Summer factor really had that going for it.
Yeah, I think so too. Personally, Adore You is like one of my favorite songs off of Fine Line. We will discuss that more next week.
Definitely.
Fine Line retrospective. Yeah. But it was, Adore You was my most listened to song of this year. I just, every time I listen to it, it gets better.
It's so good. It's just the earnestness I just needed in my life.
Not a shock that those songs hit it so big this year. But it was so nice to kind of just see the love for Harry on people's like Instagram stories, everybody posting their year-end wrap-ups. I saw so many people posting that had Harry on there. So yeah, it was an exciting moment this week.
Well, I am excited for when Treat People with Kindness finally gets on the charts. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting.
Treat People with Kindness, the ultimate single. Clearly.
I mean,
clearly the most relatable, the most reachable for a general audience song.
Folks, it was my second most listened to song on Spotify last year. So I am putting this out there into the universe. One of the hosts here is unhinged, and it is me.
We're all unhinged in our own ways, I'll say that. But I did not listen to Treat People with Kindness as much as you did this year, so I will cop that.
Probably Canyon Moon was your most, huh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We will get into
Canyon. We will get into Canyon Moon. For sure. But we should. Okay, so how about Nick Kroll on the Tonight
yes.
Show?
Yes, so there was so much Nick Kroll this week.
Oh my God.
Nick Kroll is a comedian. He's known for like a million things. I don't know how much I should like explain about Nick Kroll here, but basically he's one of the cast members of Don't Worry Darling, mm-hmm. along with Harry. And he just like talked about Harry like 10 times this week, which was so unexpected and so welcome.
He loves him so much like already. It's just, it's funny. And I feel like this fall has like... It's been felt very, very condensed because of all of the everything that's been happening. So yes. it's so funny that like probably for them, like, you know, 2 months has passed, but like mm-hmm. they seem to already be like really close.
Yeah, I loved hearing that. It just makes me so happy like to hear stories like that. And especially when they're unexpected, especially mm-hmm. when they kind of just spring up out of nowhere like that. So, yeah. So Nick Kroll was on The Tonight Show, and he told a story where, well, first of all, he referred to Harry and Florence as Flo and H-Bob, which I thought was cute. And he told a story about how Harry was the first person who knew that he got engaged to his now wife, and that Harry sent them flowers on their wedding, which is just a sweet little story. And he said he doesn't know this yet, but he's going to be the guardian of all of our children, which I just thought were mentioning because Harry just has like, what does he have, 15 godchildren already? Why not add a few more?
So many. But I don't know if Nick knows that Harry's going to take him up on that offer if he asks.
Oh, Harry's so down.
Oh, for sure.
He will get all of their names tattooed.
He like, will get all their names tattooed. He will have a brood. He has a growing little army of godchildren.
I just picture that image of like Harry walking along and there's like a mother duck with like her ducklings, and there's just like his 15 godchildren. Like, it just brings me so much joy. Uh-huh.
And he's playing a little whistle. He borrowed it from Lizzo.
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah, so we'll get in more a little bit more into the different things that Nick Kroll said later when we talk about the Variety kind of portion, just because he introduced Harry at the Hitmakers event. Yeah, so we will get into, we'll have a kind of a bigger section on the Variety interview, the cover, the photos, the event, all that later. So that's kind of what happened next chronologically this week. But we thought first we'd get into briefly, as much as we can, the golden behind the scenes video. So this was such a surprise, and it was such a welcome surprise. And dare I say, maybe I liked it better than the music video.
A travesty.
That recency bias may be a factor, but I just like all of the little behind the scenes clips mm-hmm. of like him smiling at the camera in like his swim trunks and his... What is that hat? The fisherman's hat. What is the slogan on the hat?
If you ain't a fisherman, you ain't shit.
It's just not fair. Like, how is he funny?
I don't know.
And also looks like
He's funny. He speaks Italian. He smiles. Everybody likes him. But he's also shy. Like,
it's quite frankly outrageous.
It's disgusting.
And I feel attacked.
He's a demon. He's a witch.
Yeah, so we're looking at this document that we have that kind of has the plan for the episode, and we have all these photos from the behind the scenes video, and it's just like, what do we even say? Like that the shot of him like on the golf cart, like,
oh my God, crossing his legs and just
pose.
like oh, I mean, the audience can't see it, but you guys know the shot that I'm talking about. I did love the Harry Lambert parallels, you know, supposedly Harry was in a band before this one, and he was in a music video that Harry Lambert was also in.
Let's not enrage anyone.
I like many One Direction songs.
Speaking of, a One Direction song that I really like is Perfect, which is the one that was reminiscent of that one moment in the behind the scenes video where Harry Lambert's kind of putting on Harry's blazer. And I gotta say, I just love Harry Lambert so much.
Oh my God.
I appreciate his partnership with Harry so much. I just feel like so grateful that like we are kind of bearing witness to that partnership and like all the creativity that comes from it. And so I just love that he was in the video. I love when he was in the Perfect music video when I watched it, and I love that he's in this. And yeah, so any more Harry Lambert is great for me.
Harry Lambert in all the music videos. I do hope, you know, moving into HS3 era, if there are no more music videos left for the Fine Line era, I do hope that we continue to get that sort of content. And I really think that it's cool that their team is clearly paying attention. And also, I could tell that they're paying attention because of the cleavage shot in that video.
Oh my God. I just want to know, is that because they're like up on what fans are saying, or is it because the camera person filming that was just so
enamored,
mesmerized by the cleavage that they just had to zoom in? Like, I don't want to be too graphic, but I appreciate it.
Wait,
that's all I'm saying.
We have bore witness to the cleavage, and I do feel like the camera person must have noticed, but they did have to select that image out of many hours of photography.
Oh yeah. Totally. Speaking of the hours of footage that went into this music video, they filmed so much that was not in the video. And I'm so glad we got to see it, because we did get to see those behind the scenes photos. So like, if you were following along, like you saw the photos of Harry on the boat. You saw the photos of Harry in that beautiful purple robe.
Yeah.
Jumpsuit.
It's like,
what do I call it? I don't know exactly what it is, but I love it and I want it.
It's based upon, I know the designer was talking about this in an interview. It's definitely based upon like posh British school clothes. And it's sort of like his own twist on that sort of style, because he didn't grow up in that same environment. He grew up, you know, low income, and he wasn't able to afford to go to those schools. But he saw that sort of culture in movies and like other gay literature and that sort of stuff. So he became,
like the homosocial, like university, Cambridge, Oxford kind of culture.
So that design, and we'll definitely have lots of more in-depth conversations about fashion and definitely about the golden shoot, because I think that the designer is cool, and I wish that we had more time to talk about him today, but it's Stephen Stokey Daly, and Harry's outfits were from his fall 2020 collection.
Yeah, I love that. I love the outfits. It was so good. And I think Harry, like throughout his career, has supported, like through Harry Lambert too, I think plays a big part in this, in supporting kind of like independent, smaller designers. And I think that's really cool and something that we could talk about more in the future. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, so any kind of more lingering thoughts on the behind the scenes golden video?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, great. My final thoughts are more of this, please. I really wish that we had one for Lights Up. It kind of destroys me that we don't.
I know.
But I'm excited going forward to see kind of more of this behind the scenes stuff, because it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Speaking of fun, Harry, I'll say this, is not known for his social media activity. Obviously, like, for his own mental health, like, that's what he said, like, and even beyond that, just, like, he just doesn't like social media very much, and I use it all the time, but also hate it, so
it's, Yeah.
It's a complicated relationship, but, yeah, Harry, he's not known for just, like, kind of randomly commenting on things. He's not a casual social media user. So a fun moment that happened this week, too, was right before the Variety Hitmakers event. Kid Harpoon, who's a producer of Fine Line, of Harry's work, and a songwriter, he won an award at the Hitmakers event as well. And so he posted about it on Instagram, and Harry commented, fake news on the post, and stopped the count. And kind of Jeff Azoff, Harry's manager, was commenting similar things, and Kid Harpoon was replying. It was just so much fun. It's like, in the lead up to the event, like, so many things happened that day. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it just hyped people up even more. Like, we were all ready for the event. We were like, had the live stream up, and then it's like, oh my God, Harry commented on his Instagram post. It sounds like kind of stupid to say now, I guess, but
you missed a very important part of the story, which is that Harry Styles posted fake news in response to the post, and then he waited 3 minutes and he decided,
oh, how could I forget,
he decided this? That stop the count would be a funnier joke, so he commented again on the post to say stop the count, at which point Jeff Azoff came on and said recount. And anyway, they probably, all three of them, have a little group chat together and are probably roasting Kid Harpoon in there too.
Just let me in. But yeah, and then Kid Harpoon changed the caption of his Instagram photo to bring back manly men, which, you know, we haven't said it yet, but is Harry's caption on his photo that he posted for the Variety shoot. So we'll get more into that later. But it's just like little things like that. Honestly, like, this is like a funny little thing, and I just liked seeing that like moment of levity on that day. But I do genuinely feel like he is surrounded by a really special group of people. And that I just really kind of admire like the way that they all come together to create really beautiful things, but also support each other. And like, I don't know, like, as somebody who is trans and queer, and like, I just love seeing his friends come out and kind of push back against the cultural pushback from conservatives that he got over the Vogue cover and like anything like that, like when Olivia Wilde called Candace Owens pathetic. Like, I just, seeing that support, I'm sure it means something to Harry, but it means something to fans too, to kind of see that pushback from people. So yeah,
it's great. Okay, so now the very exciting part of the show, we are going to move into our main section, talking about Variety, the article, and the event as well. So first, what did you think about the Bring Back Manly Men picture? Because I thought when that dropped, that was devastating.
I screamed. I loved it. It is such a good photo. I think, like, yeah, what can I even say? The banana, the look in his eye, the freaking sleeves. Like, what is that, like, ruching? Like, what is that called? Like, that, I don't know. Listen, like, we talk about Harry's talents. He's a great musician. He's a great songwriter. But man, can he stand in front of a camera and wear pretty clothes and take a good photograph?
He just has it all. He's really the it girl. I feel like, and you know, this is a PG-13 show, but
is it?
Well, this is a family show, Key. But I do think that,
or is it?
I do think it's interesting. In all seriousness, I do think it's interesting. Representing with the banana, his knowledge of exactly what Candace Owens was saying about him. Yes, I feel like this is definitely a case of a picture is worth a thousand words, because really, you know, what Candace was saying was Candace hates queer people. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, the Candace and, you know, all the people who got involved, Ben Shapiro, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump Jr., like all these strange, sad people wanted to gather around Harry and point and laugh at him and call him gay. And Harry waited several weeks and then said, you know what? Joke's on you. I am.
Yeah, it's great. I think too, like, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the original Vogue cover, because literally we could be here for hours and hours
yeah,
talking
no,
about
no.
that.
But specifically about
I
this.
Do think, like, oh, and there's a great article, by the way, from this week from Rolling Stone that I would highly recommend, that talks about the Vogue cover. I thought it kind of gave a perspective that I hadn't seen really from most of the other published pieces about this that I read, about why Harry in particular for this cover received that backlash.
Yeah, we'll in the notes of this episode, we'll leave a list of links that you can look at. So the designer that we mentioned earlier, as well as the Rolling Stone article and anything else we mention, will be in the notes of the podcast. But to circle it back around to the original image, I just think that his response to this, because he really didn't respond in any other way, I just feel like he really chose to make the maximum impact of this. One thing that I thought was amazing was that he posted this picture to Instagram And then several hours later, he reposted it to Twitter.
I wanted him to post it on Twitter earlier. I was waiting because I thought, I mean, mm-hmm. it reached 1 million likes anyway, so his impact. But
his impact.
Yeah, I loved that this in particular, too, was the photo that he chose to post. So there were a bunch of photos from the shoot that he could have posted. And I think you're right, like, the kind of cheeky pose of the banana kind of says it all. Like, we don't need to talk too explicitly about, like, all the implications of the specific photo.
We all know
I just
what
thought it was a great
mean.
Choice.
But yeah. No, I do think that very much, I mean, it really is just, like, I feel like when I look at a lot of Harry's shoots, and we can use this to seg into the other photographs as well, but I feel like one thing that's so cool when Harry does photo shoots is I feel like he works with these really just talented photographers.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And the pictures always say, you know, so much. Like, when you're talking about him, you know, eating fruit, like, I feel like it's so interesting how this photographer captures, you know, the way that, for example, he's interacting with the pomegranate in contrast to the banana, where he's, you know, biting really hard into the pomegranate and, you know, kind of not so much into the banana. Whatever implications you want to draw from that, you know, they are complex photographs, but I do really think that he is just really talented at modeling, and people are able to, you know, say a lot of things when they photograph him. I just really think it's cool. Do you have any favorite pictures from the shoot other than Bring Back Manly Men?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be my top one. There's also I love the pink blouse that they had him into, the silk blouse.
Oh my gosh,
blouse.
Me too.
I just feel like if I had that, I'd be happier.
Well, you can get it from the Gucci store.
For like $2,000.
$2,000.
Might be more than that.
Alessandro.
Yeah, no, but I love that. I love that photo. I agree. There was something about this photo shoot that I liked so much. Mm-hmm. I thought, I'm not totally sure how to describe it. I'm not an expert in photography. It had kind of like a gentleness to it that I really liked. And yeah, I thought it was a great cover shoot.
I felt like this cover shoot with the colors was very conscious of its gendered implications. Like, I one thing that I found very interesting in comparison to the recent Vogue photo shoot, which, as we all know, was mostly, you know, dresses, skirts, I feel like this one plays with gender, but it does it in a much more subtle way, almost. Like, when you look at the clothes themselves, you know, his suit here, you know, it's both pink and blue. And, you know, you go to, like, the shirt, like, that whole getup is very much a mix of the feminine and the masculine, because when you there's another photograph where he is crouching in the shirt and he has those pants on, and those are, you know, right. more of a masculine style. And I just do feel like this photo shoot is very representative of all the photo shoots of this era, which, again, I feel like a lot of them have really played with those same color combinations in their outfits and in their staging to sort of feed back into this commentary that Harry's trying to say when he says, you know, the gender that clothes are for doesn't matter to him, which I you know, believe is true. But with the colors that he uses as well, I feel like he and Harry Lambert and all the stylists are very conscious of the way that he's framed in photographs and some of the symbolism in the photographs as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the Fine Line covers, the covers from the Fine Line photo shoot that Tim Walker did. And I definitely noticed that. I know other people noticed that. I think, yeah, I agree. I think it is kind of, I love the femininity. And I'll say that because a thing that did kind of bug me about the response to the Vogue cover shoot too is like, oh, like, Harry is masculine for doing this. And like, men in dresses are masculine. And it's like, if that's what you want to say about yourself, that's great. But also, it can be feminine too. And that's just as great. And yeah, there is a femininity to this shoot, to some of the photos, some of them not so much. And I appreciated that. I always appreciate that. And I look forward to appreciating that, as I'm sure that will continue on throughout Harry's career.
All right. Well, I feel like that wraps up some of the discussion on the photos, but we will talk a little bit about some of the content of the profiles. So There was a lot of old content in the profile itself. I feel like
Yes.
one thing that I've noticed from Harry profiles is interviewers tend to get more from him if they're following him around than if they're just interviewing him, because usually he comes prepared. He's done his homework. And as we all know, this is the end of the fine line era too. So I understand that he's probably saving to talk about some stuff for the next album cycle. But I do think that there were some things that he talked about in this interview, Key, that you in particular pulled out that were pretty cool. So do you want to talk about why you found these to be the most interesting in particular?
Yeah, for sure. So I definitely agree overall. I found my biggest takeaway from the Variety shoot and interview was the shoot. I think the photos are great. The interview was good to read, but like you said, a lot of repeated quotes and information, which is totally fine. We are very well aware that the average person does not read every single interview and every single profile of someone. So of course there's going to be repeated stuff. Like that's just kind of how it
He
goes.
didn't say bowling with the bumpers up this time.
I was waiting for it. I was really waiting for it. He came pretty close. There was a rephrase. There was a paraphrase. But yeah. No, so I pulled out a couple of things that I hadn't heard him say before, or that I thought he phrased in a different way than he has before. So the first thing that I pulled out, I just thought it was really sweet. It's just like a quick little sweet thing from Stevie. Like she's been talking so much about Harry this whole era, and like Stevie Nicks and his friendship is like so nice to see, and I just really appreciate everything that she says about him. I think it's just so nice to hear. Like it must be so nice from his perspective to hear his idol appreciating it like that. Like I can't even imagine. And so I pulled out this quote where Stevie said, "Fine Line has been my favorite record since it came out. It's his Rumours. I told him that in a note on December 13th, 2019, before he went on stage to play the Fine Line album at the Forum. We cried."
Aww.
I know. I
It makes
just
me
like she
want to
said that.
cry.
Me too. She said that before. And I always appreciate her saying it. But I that specific anecdote of like telling him that before he played the Forum show and just them crying together is just like very
It's so
sweet,
sweet,
and
especially because
yeah, I love
we
that.
know that he has cried in her presence before. Thinking back to that landslide video, just.
What a good video. Yeah, so I just thought that was a sweet little moment. And then the one other thing that I kind of pulled from the interview was his discussion of race. So I want to preface this discussion by saying, again, we talk a little bit more about this in our introductory episode, our episode zero, of like the perspectives that we come from and our desire to hear from any listeners who might have a more knowledgeable perspective or just experience dealing with issues of race, because we don't, because we're both white people. So I just want to make sure, obviously, to preface that before we say this. But so here's the quote. "Talking about race can be really uncomfortable for everyone," Styles elaborates. "I had a realization that my own comfort in the conversation has nothing to do with the problem. Like, that's not enough of a reason to not have a conversation. Looking back, I don't think I've been outspoken enough in the past." Yeah, so he kind of continues to talk about this, saying, "Historically, I can't think of any industry that's benefited more off of Black culture than music." I just thought that was an important thing to say, and I appreciated that the article then used that as an opportunity to continue to talk about the inequalities in the music industry. So, yeah, I think I liked that he said, "I don't think I've been outspoken enough in the past." I thought it was very honest. And I look forward to hearing more from him on that front in the future, and I hope that we do.
One thing that I really enjoyed about this quote was that Harry is talking, he brings it back specifically to the music industry, which makes him a representative of the industry. He's talking about his peers, his coworkers. He's talking about it more in specific terms rather than in the very vague sense. And I feel like, when you're talking about more specifics, you can really. You can definitely speak more to specific issues if you're involved in that industry. I think that that's really important, and I would like to hear more from him in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's kind of the stuff that I pulled as of interest from the interview. So,
Cool.
yeah.
And so now, before we go into talking a little bit more about the content of the speech that was made for him, There was some fun Hitmakers event stuff that happened before. So do you want to talk about the banana necklace?
What an intro. What an intro to the topic. Do you mind if I backtrack a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, let's talk about what he was wearing. First of all, okay, so I have a quote here. In a video for Variety, Harry is wearing a Gucci wool cardigan with embroideries. He was first seen wearing this piece in January 2017. So if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to look up this cardigan. It's
Space Boy.
A theme that you'll notice throughout this show is that I just want a lot of Harry's clothing really bad. So this is a cardigan and the back says Space Boy and I just love it so much. And so I wanted to briefly mention that because Harry always nails it in the fashion department.
Harry Lambert
always nails it in the fashion department. And I just thought this was so cute. It was like unexpected. It's like different from what he normally wears, I feel like, to things like this. So yeah, I thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cute too.
Yeah. And then let's get to the real important takeaway from this outfit, which is the dick necklace. And I introduce it that way on purpose. So he's wearing this necklace that is a banana, but if you go to the Gucci necklace of this, it is very clear that the necklace is not solely meant to depict a banana. So it is a necklace from Gucci. It's an enamel banana pendant. So Alessandro Michele from Gucci, Harry's good friend, has been pictured wearing the same necklace before. I just thought it was such a cool little call to his Instagram post. I don't know like what the planning like that was for, but it's like such a random, like he swapped out his cross necklace for the banana dick necklace. Like, what can I say about that? It's just a great little thing.
One thing that's interesting to me about this was, you know, this excerpt was, you know, as you know, his acceptance excerpt. And the Hitmaker event was released after, you know, the Hitmaker piece in Variety, but this commercial aired before, but it was the same clip. So I'm curious, and I'm sure that we'll never have an answer for this, but I am curious about whether the banana necklace was technically supposed to be seen before the banana eating photo or after it.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you on that, but I do agree that I find it interesting. I just think it's so cute. I just love, again, it's like the people that he surrounds himself with, like his relationship with Alessandro, I always appreciate, and I always appreciate Alessandro commenting fruit emojis on all of Harry's Instagram posts. And yeah, so I just thought the necklace was really cute. It was a moment, tiny TM. And yeah, so that was like the first kind of fun little thing about the Hitmakers event. And then the second fun thing about it was Nick Kroll introducing Harry. So we talked a little bit earlier about Nick Kroll and what he said about Harry on The Tonight Show earlier this week. And Harry evidently chose Nick Kroll to introduce him at this event. And I think it was the perfect choice because he was very funny. He was brief, but like it was just a great choice. Like he knew what he was doing. So I just like briefly, there's a couple little things that he said that I wanted to bring out because I thought they were funny. Like he said that Harry's new song, Fine Line, has debuted at number one in the US, which I just thought was funny. He also said, "Now I have gotten to know Harry over the last couple months making the film Don't Worry, Darling, and I learned that Harry is not only an incredibly talented musician and a very, very good actor, but he's genuinely a wonderful dude. He brings coffee and donuts every morning to meetings and sent me flowers on my wedding night, and now is in a throuple with me and my new wife. He's a very generous lover." I just thought it was such a cute little speech. I was like, Nick Kroll, you're all right. And then Don't Worry, Darling press tour is probably going to be pretty fun.
Oh my God. It's going to be so fun. Like, especially if they get to like do a real, real press tour. It's funny because I definitely thought that it would be hearing Chris Pine at the beginning. But
yeah, I was really ready for the Chris Pine and Harry Styles promo cycle relationship. And now, you know, I'm glad to be surprised that it's going to be Nick Kroll all the way. Hopefully Chris Pine gets in there. We haven't seen any photos with Chris Pine.
No. We should have.
That's besides the point.
We should have assumed at the outset that 2020 would be chaotic in this way. But I do.
A fair point.
Yeah, I do like the chaos of it.
I love the thruple representation.
So many thruples for Miss Styles.
Yes. Harry loves being the third wheel, and I love that for him.
Okay, so we're going to move into a little bit more of a serious conversation. And we're going to talk about what was actually said about Harry in his introduction to the Variety Makers event by the people who are talking about him. So there was a direct quote that we would like to pull first, which was talking about the stigma of his music when he was in a boy band and the way his career has progressed since then. So the person said, after talking about what his music sounds like and how it sounds like something that's out of 1972, there's a lot of people who are into Harry Styles now who never would have been caught dead buying a One Direction album and yet have now had to come to the conclusion that, hey, this guy's making music for me too, even though I didn't think I was part of the target demographic. This is a really good soft rock record from the 70s disguised as a pop record from the 21st century. I do have a lot of thoughts and feelings about this statement as somebody who really likes this era of rock and roll. I do really like 70s rock, but I also do like some boy band music. I was never a Directioner, but I did like some of their hits on the radio. It was part of the popular music scene when I was in my early 20s. And being a fan of Harry has gotten me to listen to more of their discography, and I do think that they have some good songs. I do definitely think that there is an undercurrent of the stigma of being in a boy band, particularly the sexist stigma of being in the boy band, that, you know, these people, like, they literally wouldn't be caught dead buying a One Direction album, even though some of the music on it is written by Harry just as much as it's written by Harry on HS1 or Fine Line.
Yeah, it's annoying for sure. I think, like, I guess my takeaway on this, so I am somebody who, I didn't really listen to One Direction. I still haven't really. I also, like, I like HS1, but Fine Line is really, like, the body of work that really speaks to me. It's what made me a fan of Harry. And so I feel like I'm not the person that the man was speaking about in this quote, right? Like, what he's speaking about was, like, dads, and, like, I think a lot of, there's an undercurrent there of, like, gender and of age and, like, all these things, right? So I am somebody who wasn't really into or involved in Harry's career before this era. And so I understand the concept that somebody could be more into this music than they were to the other music, because that's me, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. At the same time, yeah, like, don't, the way that he spoke about it, I'm like, okay, if you're, like, an old white dude, like, you don't gotta, like, I see the frustration, right? Like, every single time that you praise Harry's current style, you don't need to say, man, is it so much different and speaks to a different audience than it was before. It's a little like, okay, just because One Direction's fans were...
Yeah.
A certain demographic, or were seen to be a certain demographic, like, yeah, it doesn't mean that that should be dismissed in the way that I feel that this quote kind of did that. And I think, right, there's absolutely nothing wrong with liking Harry's current music and not with liking One Direction's music. Like, yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Just, you know, you don't got to go out of your way to say that there's people that wouldn't have been caught dead buying a One Direction album. Like, everyone's aware, I think, of, like, what was seen to be One Direction's target demographic. Like, it's, we're at a point now where that's fine. Like, you don't gotta say that every time. Like, I don't want to oversell it. I don't think it's, like, a huge deal. I don't think this quote's, like, egregious. I don't think it's the most offensive thing in the world. But, you know, just the way that his past is talked about, I agree. I wish they would kind of take some cues from the way he himself speaks about it.
But I do think it is, like, an opener to an interesting conversation that I was seeing had last summer when Watermelon Sugar in particular was charting. Billboard put out this great article about Harry is one of the biggest rock stars in the world. Why won't rock radio play him? And it really comes down to, you know, they're talking about how this is a rock record packaged as a pop record. And one of the issues is that rock radio, like, for HS1, they didn't want to play him, and pop radio didn't want to play him. So even though I know that he, you know, loves making the music that he make now, part of the way that his career has gone has been, you know, people, him coming out of a boy band, he wants to make this certain music, but the charts not necessarily were not, you know, responsive to him. And coming into Fine Line, they decided to market entirely differently. Like, Columbia didn't press to alt radio, like alt rock radio or hard rock radio at all. And I do think that that's very interesting that, like, they mentioned that it was a 70s rock record disguised as a pop record, because that kind of was the intended tone of Fine Line, in part because he looked at the response to HS1 and realized people were more vibing with his pop sound.
Or even that, like, pursuing pop, there mm-hmm. isn't as much of that stigma as there is pursuing rock.
Exactly.
Like, the people that are in charge of programming for rock radio, like, are going to have a certain attitude based on somebody's past. And I think, yeah, it's something that he's kind of had to grapple with a little bit. That sounds serious. It's a little more serious than I mean it to sound. But yeah, something that he's grappled with since his solo career started and will continue to, with kind of reckoning yeah. with his past. And hopefully, I would hope, moving to a point where it's... How do I say this?
Moving to a point where there's not any One Direction puns in his headlines anymore.
No more Two Directions, no Direction.
New Direction, none of that.
Yeah,
no.
I would love that. That
no
would be
more
great.
Direction puns. I guess another thing they mentioned was... He's proven that he can take a vision, take an album project, and give it to his fans so they can devour it as a complete cohesive collection. I found this interesting because I think about how locals, the basically more casual listeners, so somebody who might hear Harry on the radio or listen to one song on a mix on Spotify, stuff like that. And I guess I'm curious about the interaction of locals with this music versus his really core fan base. And I'm wondering how they experienced Fine Line as an album project, or if ultimately, you know, it wrote it and all of, you know, the music videos and the intersecting interactions on social media, if that still hasn't quite reached the locals yet.
Saying the locals like that is just so funny to me. yeah, that's an interesting question, and I don't even know if it's really something I've thought about before, if I'm being honest. I do think the general public is aware of Harry and his music more right now than they ever have been. I think that the music videos definitely reach the cultural consciousness. That sense of Fine Line as a cohesive album that you receive together as a unit, like, I love that about it. That's one of my favorite things about it. I almost never listen to it out of order. I almost never listen to it in an incomplete fashion. And that speaks to me about it. I think it speaks to other people too, because he was named Billboard's top male, like, album artist of this year. So clearly it did speak to people. In terms of, like, objectively, its wider reach, streaming versus, like, albums, songs versus, like, I don't know if I can speak to that, so I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's very interesting. I do feel like fans very much experienced this album as an album project and as something that we've interacted with ever since he started releasing things. You know, he has the Do You Know Who You Are website that continually changed with new singles.
Right, which definitely didn't reach the general public. It was very much for fans.
It was very much for fans. And I feel like we've experienced this as a very distinct era that's never felt like it's pushed it too much on us, but that has made it, instead of very, like, interactive, feel very homegrown project for us. But I don't think that the locals are reaching that. I, due to coronavirus, obviously don't interact in real life with that many people right now. Mm-hmm. Social distance, wash your hands. But I do occasionally, you know, chat with boys on dating apps when I'm bored. And and sometimes girls too. And
real photo with banana and pomegranate vibes.
Yeah, real photo with banana and pomegranate vibes from Gray. And I have had you know, had conversations with people who will be like, oh, who's Harry Styles? And because I'm so obsessed with him, obviously, you know, I do have him in my profiles and I'll, you know, cheekily mention him. And I'll be like, oh, the watermelon sugar guy, and they'll be like, oh, I've heard that song. So I do feel like that's kind of the layer that a lot of people are at right now with Harry, where,
Yeah, I can see that.
where I feel like there's different layers of liking him, but I do think a lot of people still think of him as the watermelon sugar guy. Song of the summer.
That's so interesting to me. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's true. I'm just so interested to see like what legacy that song will have and like what. Yeah, I think Song of the Summer is definitely the takeaway that a lot of people are going to remember from it. But yeah.
He's really going to be singing a song about that for the rest of his career, huh?
When is he not singing about that? Every album is gonna, there's gonna be a song, I'm telling you.
He really just said, we won't get into it. We all know what watermelon sugar is, but okay. So, finally, so Harry's quote from his thank you speech was very interesting.
Oh boy, was
Let
it.
me quote, it's very cool to think that people liked some of the songs on the last album. I will get back to the studio, Key.
Wow. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. Okay. Now, Key knows that I have not only speculation that is fruitless, but it is very detailed about the timeline of when it will come out. I am calling Fine Line Spring 2021.
Fine Line Spring of 2021?
Oh, no, never mind. We have to cut that out too. No. No, we can't let them see I have weakness. Okay. No, I am calling Harry Styles 3 Spring of 2021.
That's a bold claim.
It is a bold claim, but hear me out. So I don't think, unfortunately, that Love on Tour Europe in February and March is going to be happening.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
R.I.P.
but I
I'm
think
sorry
that
if anybody is still hanging
that's
on.
obvious at this point.
Apologies. But I do think that Kid Harpoon was talking last February that Harry was already recording stuff for Harry Styles 3, which I would, if he had been touring all year, I would think, oh, yeah, Harry Styles 3 is not coming until 2022 or maybe 2023, But I feel like Harry was right after that, like all of us, was stuck inside with nothing but his thoughts. And for a good portion of it, we learned from the Vogue interview, he was with Mitch and Sarah. So obviously, he would have had the opportunity to write, shall we say. When you look at the timeline for the core writing for Fine Line, besides around two songs, it was some sessions in the fall of 2018 and the spring of 2019, and they did some writing in Japan that winter. And so it seems like Fine Line has been, or no, sorry, cut that again. It seems like Harry Styles 3 has been a bun in the oven for at least 10 months, which is
Wow.
longer than the bun in the oven that was Fine Line. And I am saying that if he released it in spring of 2021, that's a year and a half from Fine Line's release. And he would have the time to record because Love on Tour United States, if it were to happen, and Canada as well, Love on Tour North America, if it were to happen, it wouldn't start until August 14th of 2021.
Which even
Which,
at this point, honestly, is in question. I'm hopeful, but it's in
yeah.
question. I'll say that
But
much.
I'm just saying, if he is hopeful to tour in August 2021, he would definitely have the time to, finish up Harry Styles 3, promote it, and then go on tour right after. I definitely feel like I could see that happening. And I feel like he wouldn't mention new music if he wasn't a significant part of the way along, I feel like, because he's very careful with what he says.
Yeah, part of it for me is like, so I'm always ready to clown, always ready to clown on this stuff. Like, and I would love new music. I think him saying it's cool to think that people liked some of the songs on the last album is very telling to me. Like, that's why throughout this show we've kind of been referring to this as the end of the fine line era, even though, like, who knows if that's the case. Like, it feels like that. It kind of feels like it's wrapping up.
It feels like it's wrapping up.
Well, from the next couple of months, maybe we'll get certain things, like, that we hope for. But it feels kind of like it's wrapping up. He referred to it as the last album. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's a possibility. I think, like, there's a whole separate conversation to be had on, like, what we personally would want and, like, what we would want that timeline to look like. But honestly, we're in quarantine. I need stuff to cheer me up. Harry, mm-hmm. I would love if you released album in the spring.
Yeah, I do think, you know, something specific too about this is that it was a prepared speech. So it's not something that he just did off the cuff. He filmed the speech and sent it in. And in the speech, he deliberately said, the last album and I'm off to record more music, basically. So I do feel like he is saying, hey, I'm making more music. Just wanted to let you know I'm making more music. And yeah. I do think that's very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a guarantee, but I think it's a distinct possibility. Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks. Well, we have reached a very exciting time in this podcast. Now, Key and I obviously see some wild things on social media sometimes. This is a segment that we like to call Must Get Rid of Toxic in Community. So, Key, do you want to start talking about some of the egregious things that have happened this week?
Before this section of the podcast, I do just want to say, like, we're lightheartedly kind of poking fun at these comments because, honestly, this shit, like, annoys me so much. But to kind of take it back and make fun of it because it is so stupid does bring me joy. At the same time, if you'd rather just skip it, if you'd rather not hear, like, the BS that people say on the internet, I really don't blame you. And we will have timestamps in the description of this episode that'll tell you kind of where the parts start. So if you want to skip it, feel free to skip it.
Yeah. For me, like, one of the ways that I cope with difficult stuff is humor. And definitely, I feel like being a Harry fan and being a trans Harry fan, it can definitely be a little bit difficult to see hate. So I feel like this is definitely my personal way of wanting to mock these people. But again, like, if you don't want to see this stuff, if it's bad for your mental health or whatever, I don't blame you. But now to my favorite Harry Hate blog comment of the week. So this person has really got a real theory going about some things that have been said about Harry in interviews lately. Anyone else notice that suddenly a bunch of celebs have been claiming he's shy? And he's been acting like this shy, humble angel in interviews. He did it again for this Variety thing. Shy? Yeah, right. And I'm the Queen of England. And then the person who runs the blog responded, it's just a cover, same as him being nice, all part of the image. So, Key, what do you think about his shyness? Do you think that his shyness is a calculated part of his image?
I just love so much that they acknowledge that he's been acting like a shy, humble angel, and then they're like, must be a fake conspiracy. Harry being nice, people liking him, this has gotta fake. Be fake.
This has got to be fake. But what I found, why this one was my favorite of the week was it's so specific to claim that somebody is shy. And being shy, claiming somebody is shy doesn't necessarily mean that they're nice.
Right.
You can be a mean shy person. So I do think that the Harry is shy conspiracy, I mean, if anybody has evidence,
wow.
You know.
What a conspiracy to have. Like, truly. Like, that's so funny to me. Like the Harry is shy truthers out there, I'm on your team. Know that we're in this together.
We're going to out him as extroverted one day.
Oh, God.
Just you wait.
Okay. In all seriousness, though, I mean, not really, but literally he's an introvert, though. What are people on? I have strong feelings about this, probably stronger than needs to be on a subject like this. But look. How many times does Harry have to be like, I spent my birthday alone in Japan talking to no one reading a book? I'm sorry, you guys.
He's quiet.
Case shut.
He's a quiet boy. He's
shy, so Harry truthers. You know where it's at.
You know where it's at. Okay. And so finally, for our outro, Key and I are just going to take it off the topic of Harry a little bit and just try to prove that we have other things going on in our lives.
I don't know how that's going to go this week.
So, Key, tell me one non-hairy thing bringing you joy in these difficult times?
Yeah, what a week to be asking this question. I do feel like my life has been consumed by hairy this week. But, you know, sometimes that's the way it is. Grateful for the content. I'll say that. One non-thing, hairy thing bringing me joy. One of those things is the holidays. We're coming up on the holidays. It's early December right now as we're recording this. And I love Christmas movies. And I'm very excited to start watching them. So that is
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Okay, my favorite Christmas movie is the movie White Christmas. Mm-hmm. Now, White Christmas, is it a Christmas movie? Is that like...
I've never seen White Christmas. I don't know. Okay.
Well, first of all, I would highly recommend. It's an old Hollywood musical.
Yeah, I think I was seeing... it's on Netflix now.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So check it out if you celebrate Christmas or if you don't and you just want to watch a musical. Because if I'm being honest with you, most of it has nothing to do with Christmas. Like... There's Christmas at the beginning, there's Christmas at the end, and there's a lot of Bing Crosby singing, which is like really what I'm here for. And there's a lot of dancing in it too. I am excited to watch that, and I'm excited to watch all the old Christmas specials and kind of have some joy this holiday season as much as we can in this difficult time.
Awesome. I will say I am currently, when I'm not consumed with hairy content, I am consumed with the soundtrack for The Prom, which is the movie that's coming up directed by Ryan Murphy about a lesbian teen in Indiana who just wants to take her girlfriend to the prom and a group of narcissistic theater actors who try and help her out because her school doesn't want her to take her girlfriend to the prom. I saw that show on Broadway when Broadway was still kicking, and it was definitely one of the most wonderful shows that I'd ever seen. So I'm so excited that the movie's out. Been listening to the soundtrack constantly when I go on my walks. And I just feel like the movie's out December 11th, but you can listen to the original Broadway cast on Spotify if you want to. And on YouTube, they've uploaded all the songs of the actors, which are great star-studded cast. Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman, Andrew Rannells. That's my recommendation, and it's also just been bringing me so much joy.
I love that. Pretty bold, I have to say. Pretty bold to out yourself as a theater kid. Episode one of the podcast.
I am 28, so the word is former theater kid. Thank you.
Is there such thing as a former theater kid, though? Like, does it ever really leave you? I'm out. No, I should say I'm also a theater kid. Oh, God.
Oh, we're
Don't
both out.
Unsubscribe because two hosts of the podcast are theater kids. I'm sure some of our listeners were theater kids, maybe.
We deserve our oppression if you unsubscribe from us. did we just both recommend musicals?
I really think we did.
We did. Okay. All right. Well, don't unsubscribe from us. In fact, we would love it if you did subscribe to us.
Wow,
instead.
What a segue.
So you can subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host if you haven't yet. And if you want to spend a couple minutes getting to know us and our point of view, feel free to listen to episode zero.
If you have any suggestions for things that you'd like us to talk about, if you just want to reach out and have a conversation with us, you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at @harrystylespod. So we'd love it if you'd follow us there. You can DM us there too. So let us know what you thought of our very first episode. We're both kind of new to this, so we're excited to hear what you think. And
thank you for listening. We love you so much. Talk to you next week when we are doing a Fine Line retrospective. And stay safe and wash your hands, wear a mask, all that good stuff. Bye.
All right. See you.
Louder. Do it now.